Peace be with you.
Fear.
Fear is a powerful motivator. It can help us do things we never thought we could do, like run away from a bear. But fear can also stop us in our tracks. Fear can keep us from leaving an unhealthy relationship, move to a new city, enjoy a vacation because we're afraid of terrorism or disease. Fear can divide families. It can divide communities. It can divide nations. It can even divide people of faith. Just look at the state of politics today. Good people are pitted against each other, all claiming to know what is best for our country. People of all faiths have become suspicious of each other, all people deeply rooted in their own understanding of God. I read an article the other day about a Catholic priest who spent years in suspicion of Jews, Muslims, and Hindus because he didn't understand their faith, only to find as he matured that they really had more in common than he realized, all ideals of love, truth, and forgiveness. In our gospel reading for today, fear kept a group of disciples locked in a room, afraid for their very lives, because the person they loved and had devoted their life to had been crucified, and they didn't know what would happen to them next. They had been faithful to Jesus, their Savior, but as the words of John tell us, the doors to the house where the disciples met were locked because they were afraid. And what does Jesus do? He shows up right through a locked door. These were the faithful friends who just a few days before had betrayed Jesus, denied Jesus, ran away from a tomb, didn't believe what they saw or didn't see, and then cowered behind a locked door. And yet, Jesus shows up. And what does he do next? He simply says, "Peace be with you." That is a real friend. He doesn't question them. He doesn't accuse them for their actions. He doesn't tell them they should say, "You should be sorry. You should tell me you're sorry." Nope, he simply said, "Peace be with you." And he doesn't say it once. He says it twice, and then he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Earlier in John's gospel, he had told the disciples that he would be leaving them. They didn't understand, but he told them they would receive the Advocate. The Holy Spirit would be with them. And now he's with them in the upper room, breathing on them and giving them the Holy Spirit. But those words were not just for those disciples. Those words and that promise were for all of us. Those words of receiving the Holy Spirit, and then he says, "And I send you." That word apostle means to be sent, the people who are sent. That was for us too. All of John's gospel points to Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. It's not a book about Christmas birth stories or parables or miracles. This is a book about Jesus returning to his Father in heaven to forgive our sins. The whole book points to Jesus' resurrection and these words to his disciples. Those last verses that we read today say, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not written down in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." This resurrection stuff, it's all about relationships. The disciples were terrified, and Jesus shows up and calms their fear. Fear destroys relationships, families, and communities. And Jesus restores relationships by saying four simple words, "Peace be with you." I wonder how many relationships are broken in our world simply because of fear. Fear is usually steeped in worry about not getting something we want, or a fear of losing something we already have. Whether it's a possession, money, a job, a family member, a relationship, status, whether it's supposed or real. But resurrection, that's about new life. In the book 1 John in chapter 4, it says, "There is no fear in love. Perfect fear casts out love, and Jesus is love." Jesus shows up after the resurrection to restore relationships and to calm our fears, just as he did for the disciples, and he gave them his peace. There was one person who missed out on this, though, on that visit, and that one was Thomas. Poor Thomas, always getting called Doubting Thomas. And the story of Jesus being resurrected was just a little too much for him. I mean, really, here's their good friend, the amazing Jesus who did amazing things. They had seen him crucified. He was dead. Not like almost dead, like in The Princess Bride, but dead, dead. He was buried in a tomb. He was gone. In fact, his body was gone, and they didn't know what happened. And then he shows up, they tell him, and says things like, "Peace be with you." Nope, it was too much for Thomas. He wanted proof. And aren't we all a little bit like that? We want to know just a little more. It's a little too much for us. Sometimes don't we just sit in worship and say, "Why does everybody else seem to really like that song? They're really getting into it, and it does nothing for me." Or, "Why does everybody else seem to seem so focused on that prayer, and I'm making a grocery list?" Maybe it's just a little too much some days for me to believe. Maybe this story is just a little too fantastic. And I don't mean that in the amazing kind of way. Or maybe I'm simply too afraid to just give up and trust. Maybe I really do doubt just a little bit. And will God still love me if I do? It's hard stuff. But even Thomas struggled. I think that's why he's in the middle of this story, to give the rest of us permission to just struggle a little bit with our faith, to admit our fear and our misgivings. Because when we're afraid, Jesus shows up. So Jesus comes back to the upper room again, and Thomas is there. He comes right through that locked door again because they're still afraid. And he goes through that same routine again. And then he tells Thomas, "Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas gets it. And Jesus gently, or maybe not so gently, scolds him. "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who come to believe but have not, who have not seen me but come to believe." That's the message for the rest of us. We don't get to have Jesus show up through the locked door. Instead, we get to receive our faith from the rest of us. The scriptures say these things are written so we may come to believe. We hear the message from our parents, from our teachers, from our pastors, from our grandparents, from the words written in the scriptures. We share the peace in worship, not simply to say, "Hi, how you doing?" but to share the peace of Christ as Jesus did with the disciples. We're building Christian relationships. We're living in the resurrection right here, right now. We are being the hands and faces of Christ to our neighbors. And in that reading of Acts, those people spoke boldly about Jesus Christ without fear because they had told they were sent and that they had the Holy Spirit. Last week, Pastor Paul mentioned that the biggest stumbling block to being a Christian today is getting up on Sunday morning for worship. But there are parts of the world where being a Christian is risky business indeed. Fear is what divides people, and fear is what drives humans to do terrible things. fear of the unknown, fear of the other. So how do we combat fear? Jesus showed us exactly how to do it when he went into the upper room. He stepped into the fear. Jesus offered peace, and Jesus offered forgiveness. Peter and the first apostles spoke boldly without fear, and I offer that we can do that too. They knew God was with them, they had the Holy Spirit with them, and we do too. When we build peaceful relationships, offering and receiving forgiveness first in our own lives, right here in worship, in our families, then spreading to our communities, we can perhaps then spread the good news of Jesus even further. Just as Jesus started with a small group in a locked room, living that resurrection in relationship with his disciples, we can share that peace with one another right here in this place. I encourage you to take a moment now to consider what it might be like to hear and receive those words of peace from Jesus. And then when it's time to share the peace in worship a little bit later, say it like you mean it to those around you. They aren't just empty words of a hello. They are the words of Christ. Amen.